Amen. How many of you came to trade your sorrows?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Believe in God.
Yes,
O Lord. Amen.
I was, we were speaking with someone today, you know, we were trying to get the back of the parking lot cleared out for all the leaves and the brush and the debris. You know, like we said, we got lots to do, so don't think we're finished. We did a lot of raking. I think we must have took, about 4 or 5 loads out, leaving last week, five, six truck loads out, and that's only touching the surface. So we have a lot to still do. At your time, that's a good thing about outside work. Nobody has to be here.
Come on.
You can just come and do it on your own. But we were speaking to someone today from Consal Construction about, you know, trying to clear the backyard out at a minimal cost. I'm going to meet with them again. And just to show you how God blessed and we had God's favor. Now, Consal Construction is the company that put in all these new houses, the townhouses in the back. They put in all the townhouses, they own the houses, they sold the houses, and they own the lots. And she said, you know, we tried to buy that church. You know, as I told you all, the real estate agent said they were getting tired of waiting on us, and they had cash, right? They had cash. And she said, we tried to buy the church, and they kept telling us some church had it. She said, then we came a year later, and we went to them and said, well, the church can't possibly have us a for sale sign is still out. You know, but just showing you how God gives us favor, because they had cash, right? They didn't have to go to the bank. They didn't have to go for a loan. So God has us here for a reason. And I just say that to boast on us, but to boast on God. And to let us know that God has us here for a purpose. And the lady we would speak to said, well, you know, you're in the right place. Because the people here need a church. She said, I'm sure you'll have a lot of participation from the community, and my wife was telling us some of the programs. So can we all try and get the vision? The Bible said without a vision, the people what?
Perish.
Without a vision, the people perish. And then I think it was a back that said, write the vision and make it plain, amen. So we just thank God tonight. And we did go to Pastor LaFay's mother's homegoing service on yesterday. I kind of struggled a little bit because I think between Jane's food and Aaron's food the night before, he did something to me, but it's all right. I said, you can't mix African and American and all that in the regular body. But then somebody said I had a stomach virus, so I don't know which one. I don't know which one it was. But whichever one it was horrible. Amen. I struggled, but I made it. Struggled today, but I made it. So I take away everybody's excuse for being sick. No, I'm kidding. Let us stand. But we truly be blessed the Lord. And we did go to Mother LaFay's homeguard service. It was a very nice service. And Pastor LaFay sends his love to everyone. And he said it just meant so much for him to have a copy there. And we are all together. And he did send a DVD of the collage that he was running, which I will show you all one day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But nevertheless, how many are asking God, Lord, what is my purpose? You know, when we get saved, God has something for every last one of us to do. Amen. And you know, all you have to do is ask God to give you something to do, because there's something for all of us to do. Amen. So Sunday we went over a spiritual invasion. Amen. So verse 1 of 1 John chapter 4, we go back there, reads, beloved, believe. 1 John. John comes after John. I got one of those looks. Let me keep going. Y'all ready? Amen. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Once again, they
are.
We talk about the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit is contrary to God. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world
heareth.
We are of God. Hallelujah. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
We are of God. He that knoweth heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the
spirit
and the
spirit.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
the Lord
is blessed already. You may be seated. Amen. And as we said, a spiritual invasion. Praise the Lord. Thank God for saying Minister Bloomfield back. Amen. Thank God for keeping him and his family during a time of bereavement. Amen. But when you're saved, you know you're in a better place. Amen. Matter of fact, one of the people at Pastor LaFaye's mother's homegoing said they were a little jealous. They'd rather change places with her. Amen. But we always say that until we get in that position. You'll be like, oh, Lord, help. Right? Amen. But we just thank God. Thank God for keeping him during that time of bereavement. Thank God for continuing to bless my wife, as I said on Sunday. You know, through all of her health challenges, she stays strong. So we bless the Lord for that. And we just thank God for all that he's doing in our midst. And, you know, one of the things, now the spirit that invades us, one of the things or the intention of that spirit is to divide. Right? So we have to be so careful. That invading spirit has but one desire, and that is to divide. Because as he divides, then he conquers. So the smallest trite thing, that spirit will magnify it and make it big to cause division. Seriously, he will make it big to cause division. It can be so minuscule, so minute, that when you exercise yourself or get away from it, you say, wow, it wasn't all that bad anyway. Yeah, all right. I know, Brooke, I know what you said. I don't know what y'all said. I'm going to keep moving. Keep going forward. Right? Don't stop. Okay, all right. Amen. But the scripture said, verse 1 said, beloved, believe not. There are many spirits that are going out. Believe not every spirit. But we should, as a church and as an individual, in our individual lives and our collective lives, and even in church, we have to try the spirits. We have to test the spirit to see whether they are of God or not. We need to know what spirit is influencing our decision making.
Yes.
What spirit is influencing why we do what we do? Because there are two definite spirits in the world. You have the spirit of God, and then you have the spirit of the devil. Those are the two dominant spirits in the world, and as we went over on Sunday in Luke chapter 13, the Lord Jesus said the devil had bound this woman up with the spirit of infirmity. So that spirit is real. People say, well, the devil ain't so real. The devil is just as real as God is. He doesn't have the power, but he is real. So we make a lot of decisions, we do a lot of things, and we do them impromptu because we don't try the spirit. Amen. And Jude gives us one of the greatest ways to stay in the spirit. He says, beloved, building up yourselves up on your most holy faith, which is trained in. So you have to pray in the Holy Ghost. Right? Well, why do we need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Why do we need the Spirit of God to indwell us? Why is it so important for us to pray in the Holy Ghost and for God's Spirit to indwell us? I'm going to come back to this in a minute, but let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Why is it so important for us to pray? You know, you see people, they get saved, they get baptized in Jesus' name, and they don't yet receive the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, they're going in the right direction, but somewhere along the process of time, because they do not have God's Spirit indwelling them, they wind up going astray. The question is, why do they go astray? Do we have 1243? Do we all have it? The scripture said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, what kind of spirit it is? unclean. If it's unclean, that spirit is not of not of God. An unclean spirit is going out of a man. He walking through dry places, seeking and finding. Right? So if with God, whatever your spirit, every one of us has a different influencing spirit. Amen. Just think when you were growing up, different things influence you. Like, I don't want to use examples. We all have spirits. Just think back to your childhood, even as a teenager. Some things were influences that were wrong. I don't want to put those thoughts in anybody's mind, because you all know I can put them in there, but then I might not be able to pull them out. Right? The power of suggestion sometimes can mess you up. Amen. I saw this when I was in college, you know, but we got saved. But nevertheless, I'm not going to put them in there. You know what your negative influence is. You know the spirit that influenced you. Well, when you get saved, whatever that spirit was that you were trying to conquer before you got saved, God drove it out. So that unclean spirit is now gone, right? But the scripture said that spirit that left you wanders in high and dry places seeking, is trying to find a home. Spirits do not want to dwell in the space, in the air, which we'll go over in a minute. They want to find a home. Amen. So the next verse said, then he said, I will return. I'm going back where I came from. So God saved you. But that invading spirit, and we said to invade means is unwelcome, is uninvited, and you don't want it. It's unpleasant. But that spirit has but one desire, that's to get back to that house. So the spirit that God cleaned you up on, that spirit says, I'm not happy anywhere else but home. Just like us. Where are you most comfortable at? At home. Well, that's how those spirits are. So he said, I'm going to go back to my house from whence I came out. When he comes, he finds it. That's the number one problem right there. Because it should not be empty if God saved us. It should be full of his spirit. So if God's spirit is in that house, then that invading spirit cannot come in. Y'all with me? If God's spirit, that God drove whatever it was, that spirit is. He drove it away. But that spirit is going around. He says, I am not happy anyway. I'm going back home. So if that spirit comes back home and God's spirit is there, he cannot invade. He will try to influence, but he cannot invade. But if the house is, God cleaned it, it's empty, right? The scripture says, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Next verse. Then goeth he and taketh with himself
seven
that are more. You ever say, people say, how you get saved and you worse than you ever was? Seriously, y'all ever seen that? Somebody said, how you get saved? Say, you should have never got saved. Y'all, I'm serious. You ever seen people like that? You should have never got saved because you're worse now than you ever were. But that's not God's spirit. Right? That's influencing spirit is not God's spirit. Because God's spirit, hallelujah, will never take us that way. So you see this invading spirit, and you see someone acting so contrary, he's like, how do you get saved and act worse? See, in the beginning, you were so sweet, you were so spiritual, you were so kind. What happened? They did not build themselves up on the Holy Ghost. They did not build themselves up praying in the Holy Ghost. And then Paul tells the Corinthians church in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 and 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mystery, but he said, in speaking mystery, he buildeth himself up. He edifieth himself. So if you don't build yourself up through praying in the spirit, that invading spirit, you didn't invite it, it was unwelcome, you don't want it, but some spirit is going to influence us. That's just life. Some spirit is going to influence us. Well, you say, well, how is it that spirits don't like to just dwell in the air? Now let's go to Matthew 8 in chapter 28. I'm not going to keep you all long. I'm just going to give you what we didn't finish up, Lord willing, on Sunday. I give it to you. And I promise you I will cut it short. Amen. Because I want more than anything for us to pray about the spirits that are around us. Amen. And in doing that, we also have to pray about the spirits that we allow to come into our vicinity. Amen. You have to pray about those spirits that you allow to come into your vicinity. A lot of times we say, well, I'm spiritually strong enough to handle it. If you read about in 1 Kings, I think it's the 1 Kings chapter 22, and I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 18, about how as righteous as Jehoshaphat was, he allowed that lying spirit that was on Ahab to influence him to do the wrong thing because of the environment. And a part of it, of Jehoshaphat's problem was there was an affinity, which means that they were bound together because of relationship. Because Ahab's daughter, I believe, married, vice versa, one of the daughter married the son. So because of marriage, he allowed himself to be in a very negative position. When you're saved and you're on God's side, you don't allow yourself to be in a negative position on any grounds. Amen? Verse 28 reads, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of God? And the devil knows God. Amen. If you got God's spirit in you, now he will try to tempt you. He will try to fight you. But if you got God's spirit, they know God's spirit. Amen. They'll fight for a little while, but they will leave you alone. That's why the Bible said, if we submit to God and resist the devil, he'll what? But you first have to submit to God. Before you can resist, a lot of people say, I can fight the devil, but they won't submit to God. Well, where's your strength? Where's your help coming from? When you walk contrary to God and you say, I can fight the devil, how are you going to do it? When the scripture said, if we submit first to God, then resist the devil, he'll flee. We like to butcher those scriptures. We say, yeah, just resist the devil, he'll flee. No, we have to first submit to God. So these demons, these spirits saw Jesus, and they said, we know who thou art. Amen. Verse 30 said, and there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So that the devils besought him, saying, if you go, he knew, listen, anytime a devil come in contact with the Spirit of God, they know something's about to happen. Right? So let me, Jesus, they said, we already know. He ain't gonna let us see him. Right? Because that's just how God is. So they said, if thou cast us out, right? They said, don't just put us in the air. Send us somewhere so we can have more influence. Right? So he said, so the devil's been talking to him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine. Once again, as we went over on Sunday, that influencing spirit is a destructive spirit. That influencing spirit is a binding spirit. That influencing spirit will bring us into bondage and destruction. Amen? So he said, they ran violently down and perished. How many of them? The whole world. Why? Because of that influencing spirit. That spirit not only influences people, but it also influences animals. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devil. So the devil said, if you want to cast us out, don't send us into a high and dry place. Right? Because spirits want to always embody something. Right? So those influencing spirits want to always embody us. But if you have the Holy Ghost, you never have to worry about demon possession if you pray. Now, if you have the Holy Ghost, you don't pray, you don't resist the devil, you don't submit to God, then you would be under a demonic influence, not demonic possession. You would be under that influence. You know, well, how can I be under that impression? Now, let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. Amen? Amen. So how can this be? And let's go to verse 4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who is them? Those spirits. Those influencing spirits. If ye are of God, he said, ye have overcome them. Why? Because, well, who's in us? The Holy Ghost. That spirit is in us. So great is he that's in us and he that's in the world. Well, who's in the world? The devil. Who's the prince of the power of the air? The devil. Who's the God of this world? The devil. So he said, if you have God in you, and you pray like you ought to, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Somebody say, well, I'm saved. Why do I have these tendencies to do the wrong thing so much? Say, why do I have the tendency to lean the wrong way? Y'all know the old proverb about from the Indian about the dog, right? The Indian said, I got two dogs in me, right? And the two dogs are fighting. And he couldn't explain it, and he was speaking to one of the American missionaries. So he couldn't explain it in our terminology. So the American missionary said, well, which dog wins? He said, the dog that I feed the most. A lot of times we say, well, why do I act in such an ungodly way? What are you feeding? Right? What are you taking in? What are your influences? Because whatever you're taking in is what influences you the most. So greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of. Now, when you get around people, they don't never talk about God. You have to wonder. I'm just saying, you have to wonder. We can't be God all the time. But somewhere in the line, God has to be in the conversation because we are the light of the world. We are a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. We are the salt of the earth. Salt changes, salt influences. My God, how can we never talk about God? We can talk about everything else. Those are our influences. So then we try to figure out, how do I keep getting into these spiritual laws or spiritual letdowns? What are you feeding the most? What are we accepting the most? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
They speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of. Can we give God a wave off if you believe God? Come on, if you know you, give God a wave. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Now, he said the deciding factor is hereby we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Right? So error is a spirit. Truth is a spirit. The spirit of truth is God. The spirit of error is the devil. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Though there are many other scriptures, I will close here in Galatians chapter 5. Amen. What are you feeding the most? Which spirit are you feeding the most? We'll start off in verse 1, and then we'll skip down to verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 1. The Bible says the Lord is that spirit. And what the spirit of the Lord is there is what?
Liberty.
The Lord is that spirit. What the spirit of the Lord is there is liberty. Right? Anytime, even if you're in church, and in church you feel bound, that is not the spirit of the Lord. Because what the spirit of the Lord that is, liberty. Amen. And we read on about 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, a hope of the man is overcome is the same as he brought into bondage. While they in church, they promise you liberty, they themselves are the servants of bondage. So how can they promise you to be free when they are bound? Right? Even in church, you can be in church, and you go to church and say, whoa, I feel worse than I left church than before I went, because that's the wrong spirit. That's the spirit of bondage. But the Lord is that spirit. And what the Spirit of the Lord is saying is, yeah, in church you do have to deal with issues sometimes. You might feel proud, but it shouldn't be a regular thing. It should be the exception and not the rule. Y'all with me? Amen. Stand fast. Therefore, in the Christ has set us what?
Free.
Amen. So when Christ set us free, he says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has set, made us free, and be not
entangled.
Entangled what?
Amen.
You're free. Right? God has set you free from that spirit.
Yes.
That influencing demon.
Yes.
God set you free from it. He said, that not be not entangled.
Amen.
If you're going to do it again, that means you were in it before. So when God has brought you out of before, don't do it. So we got to stand fast in the liberty. For what Christ has made us, anybody free? I'm so glad I'm free. And not be entangled again in the yoke of what? Not in Christ. But what causes this a yoke of bondage? You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor, ever laboring, I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. God has a different kind of yoke than this yoke. This yoke brings you to bondage. This yoke brings you into a spiritual slavery. And the spirit that you're enslaved to is not the spirit of God, but it's the spirit of the devil. Can I get an amen? Verse 16 reads, this I say then, what is the remedy? Anybody want a remedy? Anybody want a remedy? For, the devil's going to always be the devil. He's going to always try to trip us up because it's his job. But you want a remedy for not being invaded by the spirit? Anybody want a remedy? He said, then what? Can we all read this together? So if you don't have your Bibles on the screen, all right? He says, then what? This I say again. Walk in the
Spirit,
and ye shall not
fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Now we know the Bible says the Spirit lusts against the flesh, which we read a little later, and the flesh against the Spirit, right? So how are we walking? You don't want to have an invading spirit influence you, but how are you walking, all right? The next verse says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. What we talk about, the flesh and the what?
Spirit.
Amen. So if I'm in the spirit, I don't have to be influenced by the flesh, or the lust of the flesh, or the influences of the world. Now let's go to Romans. I said I'm going to go nowhere. I'm going. Can I go one more verse? Y'all know I'm going to sneak there anyway, right? Romans chapter 8. Alright, I've said I'm going to go. But these tie in together just to get more clarity and a greater understanding. So for what it means that we're not pleasing God, and why we can't please God, because how are we walking? Amen. What are we doing? Verse 4 reads. Do you have it? 8:4? Alright. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk, but after the righteousness of the law, right, in us, for they that are after the do mind the things of the, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the
spirit.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is
life.
Who wants a life and peace?
Amen.
You got to work on the heaven. What kind of a spiritual mind, because the is enmity against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God. So then they that are in the cannot please God. But ye are not in the, are you saying? But in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God, if you got the Holy Ghost, that's God's spirit in you. Amen. So don't walk in the flesh. Now it's time to stay in the spirit. Amen. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. All right, so now we're trying to identify why we can allow these invading spirits to have so much influence. Because how are we walking? Yeah, so well, God doesn't expect us to walk like holy, holy, speaking in tongues all day long. Yeah, God expects you to walk in the spirit. He don't expect you to walk in the flesh and act contrary, act ugly, act everything else. But we get to that, I think. What's that big clock? There it is. I look at the big clock. The big clock in the sales schedule. Amen. All right. Then it says, verse 18 says, if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the words of the they're open. They're seen. You know, somebody said, well, you're in the spirit, you're in the flesh. Well, let's just go through the works of the flesh. Adultery is a work of the
flesh.
Fornication is a work of the
flesh.
Uncleanliness is a work of the
flesh.
Lasciviousness is a work of the
flesh.
And just for those that don't know, uncleanliness don't mean you got dirty hands and dirty feet. Right? Those first one issues are spiritual issues. It's talking about this unclean spirit of homosexuality. That's works of the flesh. Amen? In idolatry is a work of the
flesh.
Witchcraft is a work of the
flesh.
Hatred is a work of the
flesh.
Thank God, no child of God can hate. Variance is a work of the
flesh.
Emulations is a work of the
flesh.
That emulation is an obsession with jealousy. Thank God, not the church.
Yes.
Y'all with me still, right?
Yes.
Wrath is a work of the
flesh.
If you got a bad attitude all the time, get mad over everything, that is a work of the
flesh.
And the Bible says the wrath of men worketh not the righteousness of God. So that is a work of the
flesh.
Amen. We got this. Strife is a work of the
flesh.
Seditions is a work of the
flesh.
Heresies is a work of the
flesh.
Envies is a work of the
flesh.
I think, well, let's get down. We got our muscles. I think we hit about everything in the flesh that we can understand, right? He says, I've told you in time past, listen to this. Influences, right? You can't just do what you want to do and think you can go to heaven. It's in the word. I said, well, God is a loving God. Yeah, but God never changes. God honors his word. So you live contrary. God doesn't, he's not angry. And this is what people have to get the message. So people say, God is too loving to do that. Yeah, but God said, my word will not change. I will not change. I am God, he said, and I lie not. God said, if I said it, shall I not do it? If I spoke it, shall I not make it good? So there are consequences to disobedience. God still loves us. But God doesn't, he's not mad at us. The penalty we pay is for the sin that we commit. Amen? But God still loves us. He says, I told you in the past that they which do such things, I don't care what everybody else says, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going to go there, but in your spare time, read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It says the same thing. These are the ones that cannot inherit. But, thank God, he always has a but for the church. Isn't it about the church? But the fruit of the
Spirit.
Now, it didn't say fruits, right? It says fruit. It didn't say spirits, but what? Everything, these next nine descriptions are one and one spirit. So when you get saved and you get the Holy Ghost, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, and God has not given us an ugly spirit, he's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind means you can make a right decision. That's what comes with the spirit. People say, I don't know what to do. Well, you don't pray, you don't have your relationship right with God, because when you do that, you have a sound mind. Amen? But the fruit of the Spirit is
joy,
peace,
long-suffering,
gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's it. If you do those Can we say nine things?
Nine things.
I bet you, who learned these nine things by Sunday? Yeah, we learned them a long time ago, you know. But we do it again. Let's do it again. For the new people, let's do it again, right? Learn these nine things, because the scripture says, if you learn these nine things that are in the spirit, against such, there is, you can't do anything against that. You know, so a lot of times people say, well, I don't know what to do. If you don't know what to do, just go to the fruit of the spirit. And you can be guaranteed you won't mess up, because against such, there is, I promise you, I'll be short of the sin. So if I'm short today, I can make up on for it on Sunday. Right? Oh no, somebody just came in. I gotta let y'all sit down. I gotta give 10 minutes. The fruit of the Spirit on the serious side of life. Everybody, you know, and like I said, I'm learning. I'm working with myself every day. You know, when I look at the Word of God and I see how a godly individual is supposed to act, and then I see what those that do contrary to all those works of the flesh, I want to make it. If I want to make it, I can't do what I want to do. I can't rewrite the Bible. I know they got the King James Version. Then whoever you are, if you have a King Elkanah Version, and a King whatever your name is Version, because there's only one right version. So you rewrite the Bible, that doesn't make God honor that. God honors His Word, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word will always be God. So you can alter it however you want, that does not change God's Word, it doesn't change God. Amen? So it's so important that we, as the church, learn to walk in the Spirit. Somebody said, well, how do I know if I'm walking in the flesh or in the Spirit? Go to Galatians 5 and read verses 22 and 23. Right? If you can't make a checklist, they ask me, we all make up a fruit of the Spirit checklist. So every day you grade yourself, then I ain't gonna work up that work of the flesh. You know, we don't want that checklist. We want to take that off. But it's so important in these last evil days, if we don't get in God like we ought to, if we don't start praying like we ought to, if we don't start hearing from God like we ought to, we're gonna continue to give way to our flesh. And in Galatians chapter 5, one of the things that it does say, we're not supposed to use our liberty in Christ as an occasion for the flesh. We are supposed to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Invading spirits, once again, are spirits that you don't invite, that aren't welcome, and most of all, they always have an unpleasant, unpleasurable outcome. Those are those invading spirits. Those invading spirits make you act contrary to God. They make you act and walk in the flesh. They change your spiritual thinking into a natural mind, or into carnal thinking. The scripture says the carnal mind is what against God? Enmity. So am I walking in the flesh? Or am I walking in the Spirit? If you're walking in the Spirit, then you will not displease or dishonor God. As the elders and the ministers come forward, there's a whole song that says, get right, church. That's bad when the church got to get right. The church ought to be right, because we are the light of the world. But the scripture says, get right, church, and let's go home. Tonight, as I stand before God, you know, and I'm learning this more and more every day, I don't care about what anybody else thinks. If I know God is displeased with me, it's more important for God to be pleased with me than anything else. So tonight, can we all just make our calling and election sure? The scripture says, for if you do these things, he shall never fall. Evangelist Paul.